Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. My name is Kabir Uppal and I'm your host. I'm a fitness enthusiast myself, and by chatting with guests, I hope to learn a lot, and hopefully you will too. You can check out our Facebook group, The Pursuit of Wellness, where we interact with guests, listeners, and discuss their journeys. This is also where we post our new episodes as well. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TPOW Podcast. This is a Mancha Media production. You can find out more on manchamedia.com. On this episode, I chat with cousin duo Vrinda and Yadu Bagheria. They come from diverse backgrounds that you'll hear about on the episode. Their passion for bouldering, which is a subset of climbing that has brought them together to build a new climbing space in New Delhi. We run through what bouldering is, how the activity is growing globally and in India, and finally their plans for the new space that they're building. You'll also hear about how you, the listener, can try out this new activity and how it helps you stay fit. Let's jump right in, guys. Hey guys, welcome to the show. So we've already given our audience here a little bit of an introduction about you guys, but why don't you guys one by one give us a little background about yourselves and what you're doing now?
I did my education in visual communication design. It was a 4-year degree program I studied in the US. And I've been practicing as a graphic designer for a few years since I've been back now, but shifting paths entirely to starting a climbing center in Delhi, by the name of Boulder Box.
Awesome, and that's why we're here. We're going to talk a lot about Boulder Box as well. Yadu, what about you?
So I actually studied maths in London, in Imperial College. I did a master's in maths. Before that, I was already in the UK for 5 years. So I've only recently moved back to India last year. Initially, I was doing some work in the markets, just an internship and learning a little bit.
Great. Well, it's great to have you guys back in the country and working towards making our people fit and finding new solutions for them to do that. So why don't you guys tell us a little bit about, where the interest in climbing and bouldering began for both of you?
I used to play squash at this local gym next to my college in Chicago, and it just so happened that it had a climbing wall right next to the squash courts. It scaled almost 7 stories high, so it was this U-shaped floor plan of the gym, and the climbing wall was the center focus of the entire thing. So if I didn't find a squash game, I'd sort of try my hand at climbing, and I think the mammoth structure really piqued my curiosity.
Yeah, it's kind of in the middle of everything. It's hard to miss at that point, right? And Yadu, what about you? When did you get interested in climbing and bouldering?
Like I said, I was in boarding school in the UK and they had a climbing wall there. Initially, I was actually a runner. Basically, I got injured while running. So one of my friends said, hey, do you want to come out, try climbing for a week? So I started going once a week and it was just something I was doing on the side. I was enjoying it, but it wasn't my main sport. And then eventually, I think I've started finding running more and more monotonous in comparison to climbing. And slowly, climbing became my passion.
Interesting. So for both of you, it was almost like a second option that you got more and more interested in. Squash for you, running for you, right? So what does bouldering mean for you? What is your definition of bouldering? Even I hadn't heard of it when we started talking about this. Tell us a little bit about what your definition of bouldering is and how our audience can get an understanding.
So bouldering really is an offshoot of rock climbing. It started off as a training mode for people who wanted to climb longer routes. And now it's grown into this full-blown sport. But it's essentially scaling shorter walls up to 4.5 meters high. And you have a protection of a mat, which is a foot high. So if you fall, these mats are designed to take that kind of fall. It's more technical and power-based, if I may say so, than longer endurance routes or than climbing. And it's a bit like problem solving.
So would you say it's like a smaller version, bite-sized version of longer climbs that you're kind of practicing?
To an extent, but I think it goes a lot beyond that because it's so short, it can be a lot more intense. It's a bit like sprinting is to marathon running. Bouldering started in Fontainebleau in France and it was mostly for alpine climbers.
So was it something that would get them kind of prepared for the main climb?
Yeah, exactly. Because, you can't go to a mountain to train climbing on the mountain on the cliff face. So you would climb small boulders and get strong there.
And, we'll get to the, kind of status of the sport globally and how it's kind of growing in India and why you guys are doing it here. But what does it mean for progress in bouldering? You mentioned that, they were doing it to prepare for the alpine climb. So is it like breaking up off a larger climb and then timing how quickly you're able to do it and what alternate routes you're able to do for the same climb?
Maybe in the past, but now I think it's completely changed. Now it's just about small hard moves. And normally, again, you have boulders, like she said, about 5 meters tall. You take a pad and you go and you basically try to scale this boulder. And normally the difficulty is that it's really hard and each move you have to work towards, try and find out how to do it and then...
So is it something where you kind of practice the same boulder and the same route and then, you know, figure out the quickest way to do it or the most efficient way to do it?
I think it goes beyond that. It's actually just about doing it. It doesn't matter if you do it quickly or if you do it efficiently. Most of the times when you're bouldering, you're just trying to do it. And eventually, maybe once you've done it, then you try and find a more efficient way just to, like, you know, because you care about doing it in the most efficient way. But yeah, for most people, it's just about ascending the boulder.
And it's just about completing, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we get into, you know, your personal journeys of bouldering, let's talk a little bit about the passion bit for you. You know, why you guys got into this, why you're putting this over other things, and how that kind of has pushed you guys to create an actual space for other people to get into the sport as well.
So having worked as a graphic designer for a few years, I think the sedentary lifestyle of the job really got to me. I didn't get enough time to climb. It was really taking a toll on my body. It was just something I wasn't willing to do for a long period of time of my life. Having a climbing center always seemed like a dream. There was nothing like this in the city. There was one coming up, but we felt there was a lot more that a center could offer. And so it just seemed like the right time, opportunity, and seeing the boom of this sport worldwide, you know, it all made sense to start a center.
It basically just comes down to passion. You know, there's I think about things that I want to do daily, and there's not that many things. And one of them is climb. And I think if I can enable other people to do the same thing that I enjoy doing, I think that's something worthwhile. And, you know, it's if I have a holiday, I try and go climb. If my mom says, oh, let's go here, the first thing I do is Google whether there's climbing there, because that's what I want to be doing. And so, it just relates straight back to that. And I think I am also lucky enough to be in a position where I can do this. And I think this is the right time to do it, because I'd rather not wait till I'm 50 and I've done other things. And I'm in a position to start something then, because I think that's too late. Like, I won't be able to do it with the same level of passion, because I'll have other responsibilities.
Awesome. And what is the current status of bouldering globally? You know, this is, you know, outside, obviously you said it started in France, but as a market, you guys practiced it, you know, in different countries. You've been, I know when we talked earlier before the recording, you had mentioned that you've kind of experienced the sport and the activity in various countries and environments. So what is the current status of it? Like, how popular is it? And how many people are kind of actively doing this right now?
Indoor bouldering is actually growing phenomenally. At least in Europe and the US, you see bouldering centers popping up every few months, and dedicated bouldering centers. These centers might not even have tall climbing walls anymore. So as a sport, I think it's really picking up. In India, we haven't seen much growth here at all. I think it's just the sheer lack of infrastructure that, you know, no one's exposed to it.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from the accessibility of bouldering. You can go to a bouldering center with no prior experience of climbing, and you can go up and, you know, if you fall, there's massive crash pads and you land safely and you're okay. Whereas for climbing a tall wall, you have to go there, learn some technical information. You know, how do you belay? How do you hold a rope? How do you tie in? All of these things are deterrents from people actually trying it. And that allows casual enthusiasts to come and try the sport.
So it's not as intimidating as something else. And here, this is a little bit more inviting, say, for amateurs and new people that are kind of trying it out, right? You know, before jumping into what the common aspects are with bouldering and other workouts, how does indoor bouldering kind of lend itself to outdoor climbing? How does it kind of prepare people that might want to eventually do this, and this being like a launch pad for them to exploring that as a more full-time activity?
I think the movement in indoor bouldering quite directly translates to climbing outdoors. If you're going in with a goal-oriented mindset where you want to work something like a longer route that you have in mind outdoors, you can quite easily train for that in an indoor center. Having said that, the competition side of things is changing drastically, though. Indoor bouldering in a competition setting is very different, or it's moving in a different direction now. It's become a bit more coordinated in movement, parkour-like. But yeah, you can definitely train indoors and climb outdoors because the movement is very similar.
And you mentioned the competition bit. Like, what is a bouldering competition look like? Is there a, you know, competitive aspect to it? Are people actually racing in climbing walls, or what is that aspect? Is this like a very personal sport, or is it something that is done in a group format and in a competitive format as well?
Again, it goes back to what I said before. It's just about getting to the top. It doesn't matter how they do it. Normally, of course, to distinguish who did it better, or like to say both of these guys got to the top, who's going to win? It's who did it in less tries. But beyond that, it's normally just about getting to the top. And if, you know, if in most competitions, if you climb every single boulder to the top, then you're quite likely to win.
So jumping into, you know, kind of comparing this or, you know, drawing some similarities with other types of workouts, what are some things that bouldering kind of strengthens in you know, in the human body? What are some common aspects with other types of workouts, whether it's strength training, whether it's running, CrossFit, where would you kind of equate some similar areas?
So when one is climbing, your points of contact are your fingers and your toes. So it's essentially a full body workout. And it's a lot of strength as well. So you're strengthening your upper body, core. You're using everything, essentially. If there's one thing it's not like, it's probably cardio. So it's endurance-based strength training or shorter strength sessions where you're lifting heavier weights. I guess if we were to equate it to others, maybe calisthenics and gymnastics are similar activities.
I think it comes down to, you know, you're basically hauling your body weight up the wall. And like she said, the points of contact are your fingers. So the main differential between gymnastics, calisthenics, and say even parkour is the fact that your fingers have to be really strong because that's how you hold on to the wall. But beyond that, you know, sometimes you have to run, sometimes you have to squat on the wall, sometimes you have to just do a pull-up, sometimes you have to lock your arms. So it ends up engaging all parts of your body. And if there's something you want to work towards, you can go find boulders that are conducive to training that body part and do that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask, in terms of bouldering, you know, it could be something that is a hobby sport for a lot of people, right? But are people using, in your experience, using bouldering to kind of strengthen their ability for other sports or other activities as well?
I think to an extent, yes. While I was in the UK, you'd often see people from the gym who do sessions climbing because it was a great forearm exercise for them. Because lifting weights only trains your forearm so much, but actually hanging off, you know, small little holds is much better for them and it helps them lift heavier weights. So people do use it. And again, people doing calisthenics and parkour, they can try their kind of moves on the wall as well. So people do use it. But I think beyond that, it's about how great it is for the casual fitness enthusiast to do it as their primary fitness activity. Because you go there, you do it for an hour and you've done strength training, you've done a really good upper body workout, probably also a lower body workout. And I think that's what appeals to people and that's why it's grown as a sport.
Absolutely. And the holistic workout bit that you guys were kind of mentioning, do you feel like it touches all the different points of endurance, stamina, strength? Strength, obviously, you have mentioned. But how does one build, say, endurance and stamina through bouldering?
You have to be a bit more goal-oriented if you want to build endurance while bouldering. So you probably have to like chain multiple boulders together to simulate climbing for longer. Most bouldering centers will have a circuit wall where you'll have boulders that end in a loop, so you can just keep climbing them again and again if you want. You can also just, you know, train endurance by constantly climbing, just taking shorter breaks, because naturally bouldering lends itself to being a very like high intensity workout. So you normally climb for 30 seconds, rest for 2.5 minutes, then, but instead you could rest for 30 seconds and it suddenly becomes like an endurance workout. So I think there are a lot of possibilities and it depends person to person.
So yeah, kind of if you do it in a structured and goal-oriented format, you can kind of personalize it for your own goals as well, right? What are some other things that you do, if you do, with bouldering that kind of help you improve your skill in terms of bouldering?
I do a lot of stretching and yoga as well, apart from strength training. I find that there's a lot of shortening of muscle because everything is strength-based activity.
Yeah.
So it helps to, you know, just ease out the tension, lengthen those muscles. Cardio also helps a lot. I don't like it, so I don't do it. But yeah, anything that gets you fitter.
When I was running, I did a lot more gym and general stretching and fitness. Then when I started climbing, it kind of took over and I stopped doing other activities altogether. Recently, I've reached a plateau in my climbing and I feel like I need to do strength training and a bit of flexibility work in order to progress for climbing because, I just don't have enough upper body strength to, you know, pull myself in certain moves in certain situations. So I've started, you know, lifting weights and doing other things. But I just wanted to say, like, you can climb without doing anything else. You can be, in my opinion, relatively unfit and still climb. It's like if you can climb a ladder, you can probably do bouldering. Because we focused a lot on, you know, strength training and how intense it is. But actually, it's a low impact sport because there's padded flooring and it's very easy to do at the beginning, and it can ramp up if you wanted to.
Awesome. So let's talk about the space a little bit. You know, there will be a lot of our listeners that will hear this when you guys are already open, and hopefully they'll come and check out the space and, you know, all the great stuff that you guys are doing there. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, what has gone into planning this, right? You know, Vrinda, when you and I spoke before, you had mentioned you had visited a lot of centers to kind of explore. I'm sure both of you have done a lot of research. So run us through that a little bit. You know, what has been, you know, kind of very essential for you to prepare yourself to introduce this space, because there's not much happening in the space in India, as you said, right? So getting it right, I'm sure, is very important for you.
I think a large part of it comes down to our experience climbing ourselves, which has been abroad. We started climbing abroad and then we came back to India. And so I think what we see is the lack of facilities and the lack of the infrastructure that we found abroad, and we want to bring that to India. So, you know, when we climbed over there, there were centers, there was good route setting, there was variation and variety. And I think that's what's lacking in India. You know, the climbing centers that we've been to in India don't change their routes often enough in my mind. The facilities aren't as friendly to be in for a newcomer. I think I still go climb there, and that's because I love climbing. But what we want to do is make climbing available for people who might not love it yet and can fall in love with it. And for that, you need to have a friendly atmosphere where, you know, someone can just come, maybe even with their kid, and be like, oh, let's go climb.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, we want to focus on every small aspect of our design. So we've also made sure we have clean air, because Delhi is known for its notorious air, and make the space really friendly enough so that we can inculcate this idea of community and a climbing culture that can then grow from, you know, from a small group to a much larger one.
Yeah. And I think, you know, just in our experience of also talking to many entrepreneurs, obviously there's the larger things you focus on, like making sure there's variety, making sure it's exciting enough. But then most of the successful ones have done the small things right as well, right? Making sure that there is parking, making sure that their entrance into the facility is pleasant, that, you know, they're greeted well, that whichever touch point, whether it's a conversation with a trainer or a janitor or an online, you know, salesperson, all of that is one great experience holistically. So what are your plans of trying to kind of build that community around it? You know, have you thought of some things, or is this something you guys want to explore as and when people start coming in? Do you guys have a philosophy on how you're going to kind of run this place?
We've hired a team of climbers, three climbers, apart from the two of us, and we're all of us are truly passionate about the sport. I think that'll reflect in the way we run the center as well. Everyone is good communicators about it. They will be able to educate the clients on what climbing is, what bouldering is, how to keep safe practices in a center, and also just make it fun. Because at the bottom of it, it's a sport that you enjoy, and that's why you keep coming back to it.
For some of our listeners that might want to, you know, that hopefully will want to kind of explore this with you, what are some things you can tell them that will prepare them for this, right? Somebody who's never heard of this, who's saying, you know, I'm ready to try something new, I'm bored of the gym, I'm bored of running. Do they need to prepare in any way with equipment or, you know, spending 3 days stretching particular muscles so that they're not sore for a week after that?
I think they should just come try it. Try it, come a few times. I'm sure they'll have an experience worth remembering at least. And as far as soreness and calluses, yes, you will have all of that, but it comes with a badge of honor. So, yeah, take it as it is.
And I think it just comes down to, you know, how far you want to take it. You can come and you can stop after half an hour and you probably won't actually have any calluses either. Or you can, you know, maybe you enjoy it so much, you're off for 3 hours and then, yeah, you probably will have calluses and soreness and all sorts. But in terms of preparation, I don't think any is needed. You just show up.
I think also I want to mention a point. A lot of women don't climb. There's this stigma that it requires a lot of upper body strength and you need to have pulling capacity. But women actually are better climbers to begin with, because they don't have that strength. And so they tend to use their bodies more creatively. They'll use flexibility. They'll push with their legs. And yeah, more women should climb.
100%. Like, I think normally I've in school, I held a lot of classes with beginners, and almost always the women climbed better. I think guys traditionally will just try and, you know, do a pull-up on the wall, and then then you're basically stuck. You know, if you do a pull-up, your arms are next to your like shoulders, and like what do? You can't move. Whereas if you're leaning back, then you know, you can move around. And Yeah, I think traditionally women just climb better. Even at the top level, normally when you're looking at a lot of female climbers, they move better.
No, I think in all facets of working out now, I remember just even 5-6 years ago, if you would be in a weight room in a gym, rarely would you see a woman that would, you know, be there either in being intimidated or all of these stigmas around, you know, strength training and weightlifting will make you bulky and stuff like that would, you know, kind of dissuade women from coming in. But I think there's a lot of different areas of fitness that they were previously not kind of open to exploring, that that's completely happening now. Getting into the surrounding market, is there, for example, with the running, with gymming, there's a lot of focus on equipment, you know, buying the right gear, buying the right shoes, buying the right shorts, t-shirts. Is there that aspect in bouldering as well? Do people need to, you know, buy specific type of apparel or gear that will make sure that they have the best experience?
In bouldering, there's essentially two things that you need. There's climbing shoes and chalk. Chalk is readily available. Maybe not the best chalk at international standards, but you can find chalk pretty easily.
Yeah.
In terms of climbing shoes, there's a few companies in India now, and there's a few people importing shoes, but you still don't have big brand names readily available. But I think that'll slowly change over time.
Okay. And you guys have done, you know, you've done strength training, you've done running. How is a climbing shoe different from a running shoe or a, you know, workout training shoe as such?
So climbing shoes have rubber soles that help you grip onto the holds better. They vary from flat-toed shoes to more aggressive shoes, which are basically downturned and help you point your toes like ballerinas on a wall.
Essentially, they're like ballerina shoes with rubber at the bottom. I think they're not like running shoes at all, actually. They are basically, they're maybe, and they are very tight as well, traditionally, like at least when you want to climb well. I think as a beginner, you would wear loose shoes, but slowly over time, like maybe a year later, you would start wearing really tight shoes like a ballerina.
So you feel more tension from your toes and you can grip the tiny holds better.
So can you guys tell me a little bit about the space in India right now, you know, bouldering and climbing in general in India? How has it changed just in the little time that you guys have, you know, come back and been exploring it? And where do you see the ecosystem kind of going? And then we can talk about some, you know, essential factors that you think will have a role to play in kind of making this something that is more popular and more, you know, widely spread.
I feel like climbing in India right now is at a stage where most people are basically fascinated by rock and they want to go outside and actually climb the rock. I think in the last 5 years, the sport has slowly picked up steam because of climbing being included in the Olympics. So now people are focusing more on competitions, you know, they're training athletes to compete for the 2020 Olympics. And so the focus has moved a little bit away from outdoor sport, but there's still, I think that's still the major community in India. You know, most people go outdoors, they climb rock.
Yeah, and there's, you know, there's not that many centers yet, indoor centers yet in India. So what is the accessibility in, say, tier 1, tier 2, tier 3 cities for people to be able to do this outdoor?
I think the issue with having climbing centers is that it requires a lot of, it's big on investment, because building climbing walls is a huge investment. Nobody in India really does world-class quality climbing walls yet. And that being the major hindrance in, you know, centers popping up. Apart from the fact that there's lack of awareness also to an extent. Having said that, 5 years ago when I used to, or maybe 7 years ago when I started going to IMF, I'd see a handful of people there. The charges were 50 rupees for a day, 500 for a monthly membership. Now I see about 50 people every time I go there.
And I mean, for our listeners that don't know about the IMF, which is, you know, one of the only spaces, if you could elaborate a little bit on that, on what it is and, you know, how it's adding value and where you see more spaces like that.
Yeah, so the IMF is the Indian Mountaineering Foundation, which is the apex body for all climbing and mountaineering related events. Even if you need a summit or a pass to climb a peak, you have to go to the IMF and get a permission for it. And they have this massive structure of a climbing wall outside at their center. It's an outdoor wall. It's really impressive to look at. So it gets people going the minute they enter. It's a tall wall, and that's obviously an exciting, you know, height is always exciting for beginners. So that's where I started when I came back to India.
And I think in terms of accessibility of climbing in tier one cities, most tier one cities now probably have some form of an indoor, or not indoor, but a climbing wall. They might not be the best of facilities, but there is something. And then I think because of the growing community, people are trying to find rock around. But natural rock is still very hard. Like in Delhi, in the last few years, I think people have found a lot of places. There's Sanjeevan. But it's growing. But to, like even now, I think normally if you want to go climb impressive rock, you normally have to travel a bit to go do it.
And before we kind of jump into, you know, your plans for your space boulder box and, you know, what all you're planning in terms of building it out, how big is the community now of bouldering and climbing in India? You know, are there people that are promoting it more than others? As you said, one problem with the IMF, it might be that it's not inviting enough and, you know, it's not accessible enough during certain months of the year. So who are, besides you guys, you know, how is the community kind of growing and getting more people included in it?
I just want to say it's definitely inviting. It's just, I think, just not accessible enough.
Okay.
The community is definitely growing. Like now there's festivals for climbing happening all around India. I recently went to the Suru Boulder Fest, which is held in Leh Ladakh. And yeah, it's great. It's organized by a guy called Jammy. And, you know, he's been running it for the third year now. There must be at least 100 people there. And it's held over 2 weeks. I was only there for 5-6 days. But it's great. People come along. I think not all of them even boulder. Actually, some people just, you know, they come to his little climbing gym in Leh and they hear about it and they get excited and they go climb because it's in the middle of nowhere and it's really beautiful. But similarly, now they're holding, there's another bouldering place up in Manali called Setan and they're doing a bouldering festival there. There's a bouldering festival down south in Hampi, which is the big hub for bouldering in India. So I think the sport is definitely growing. I think what we need now is more infrastructure to just get the masses into it.
So let's jump in to talk a little bit about, you know, your plans for the space. You know, one specific question I actually really wanted to ask you guys was, how do you make a wall? Like, what is the material that goes in? How do you plan it as people that are experienced in the space? I'm really also interested to hear about how you want to create variations. You know, you had mentioned that before that you and Vrinda will work on, you know, adding the excitement. Keep, you know, every 2 months, maybe the boulders will change. They'll be more, you know, interesting. So how do you go about doing that?
So essentially, a climbing wall has a metal framework because most of the climbing walls are cantilevered structures. And attached to the metal framework is a plywood sheet of varying thicknesses. And attached to these plywood sheets, you have a negative threaded T-nut or a metal hardware piece, yeah, basically, where you can fix holes. So it's a completely flexible structure because the grid of these holes is, you know, continuous throughout the climbing wall and it can vary. You can pull a hole out, put it anywhere you want and create routes as and how you like. So that's the structure of the climbing wall. Holes, as far as holes are concerned, they vary from maybe 5 mm by 5 mm to almost, you know, 5 feet by 5 feet large. So it really, like, you can get holes that are super tiny to super large and create a beautiful route that allows body movement, or some routes that are super tiny on the hands and you have to pull harder. You can do anything. That's how we'll allow for variation in the space by altering the path that we define.
So it's almost modular in nature, right? You can just kind of plug and play.
Yeah, exactly. The holes are definitely modular. And nowadays, obviously, the climbing wall structure itself is solid and doesn't change. But nowadays, what has happened is we've got these big plywood volumes, we call them. And basically, they're just big pieces of plywood in, like, you know, a box shape or a triangular shape or a pyramid shape. And you put them onto the wall and now the face of the wall has changed. And it can, these things can be, you know, 2 meters by 2 meters or even bigger. And they again have these holes and T-nuts. So you can put holes in whatever position you want.
And all of this is friction coated, so it has this sandy texture, so you can grip better.
Awesome. And what are your plans for the space? You know, what is the ideal boulder box experience that you want to be able to create in the coming months?
I think for us, the aim is to really grow the climbing community, create this sense of community. We are starting off with just the climbing center to begin with, which will allow for bouldering only initially, hopefully rope climbing soon, and then also a cafe that will get added to the space. The cafe will allow for more of social engagements. You know, people can come, plan a climbing trip, hang around. And climbing essentially is quite a social sport. Like, you discuss your ways of climbing a particular route.
I think the ideal experience for someone when they come to Boulder Box, in my mind, is someone comes, you know, they get a friendly introduction. This is someone new, by the way.
Yeah.
They get a friendly introduction. They get some climbing shoes. They put them on and they just go straight to the wall. And, you know, they'll probably climb something really easy and get to the top and feel happy. And maybe they'll do all the easy ones and they'll feel happy. And then eventually they'll be like, oh, I can try harder. And they'll try something slightly harder and probably fall off. And at that point, you know, they'll face a challenge and they'll want to do it. And normally at a climbing center, because like I was mentioning earlier, you know, you spend a lot of time actually just resting because it's very intense. You're just sitting on a pad and there's probably another guy doing the same climb that you were doing. So you'll probably either see how they do it, try it that way, or maybe someone will give you a tip if you keep doing the wrong thing. And, you know, maybe this is someone more experienced. They'll be like, why don't you try this? And so it naturally falls into like a social sport where you end up communicating. Even if you're not communicating,
probably
you're visually communicating by just watching people climb. So I think, and then, you know, they'll hopefully they'll make some friends and they'll go home and they'll want to come back because their friends are climbing.
Awesome. I think, you know, that aspect of any kind of workout or new experience is essential. You know, we talked to a bunch of other business owners and, you know, entrepreneurs in the fitness space that have created experiences, and all of them focus on the social aspect, on the camaraderie aspect, on the, you know, together kind of getting healthier and fitter aspect. So, you know, just to wrap up, are there any, you know, parting thoughts that you'd like to give, you know, our listeners? You know, our listeners are people that are enthusiasts, they're professionals, entrepreneurs. You know, we'll get you guys to give out some information in terms of how they can get in touch with you and collaborate. But any parting thoughts for people that their interest has been piqued by this episode with you guys?
I think the main thought is, you know, come try climbing. Yeah. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. We hope you like it. But we can definitely guarantee that you at least it'll be a fun experience for you, you know, to an extent.
Yeah, come try the sport. It's really fun.
Great. And, you know, how can people get in touch with you? Is there your website? If you want to just tell us a little bit about, you know, how they can interact with you for the future.
Yeah, you can visit www.boulderbox.in or drop us an email at info@boulderbox.in.
And you can also follow us on social media. We're on Facebook as Boulderbox and on Instagram as The Boulderbox. So, yeah.
Awesome. All of that information will also be in our show notes. So you guys can click on those links and check out Boulderbox and all of their progress. And we look forward to your space being up and running very soon so that we can come and climb and experience all the wonderful things that we've talked about today. But I just want to thank you guys for taking time and coming and talking to us and giving our listeners a good snapshot of what bouldering is. And hopefully, you know, at least some of them will come out and try your space and experience a new way of working out.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Kabir. Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks. I'll see you there.
All right, guys. That was this week's episode of The Pursuit of Wellness. You can find us on iTunes, CastBox, Savan, or wherever you guys get your podcasts. We're on Facebook as The Pursuit of Wellness and Instagram and Twitter as TPOW Podcast. You can check out our website, munchamedia.com. This has been a Muncha Media production. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe for our new podcasts.